The last Thursday of every month, we've got a group of men here that go out and we have our men's breakfast. How many of you guys have heard of this? But we have a men's breakfast every third or every last Thursday of the month, and you guys are all invited. If you're available, you're welcome to be there. And I look forward to this. I look forward to the fellowship because it's a group of guys that I normally wouldn't sit down and have fellowship with because there's a little bit of an age gap between myself and some of these guys. But I really enjoy the opportunity to be able to sit down and share with them. And we get a chance to talk and I learn about who they are and their past. And it's a time that I really look forward to for both the fellowship and the food. Because it's at Cracker Barrel. And I mean, that's a great breakfast, isn't it? Out there at Cracker Barrel. Now, I order the same thing every time. I'm a creature of habit. Some of these guys here that have been with us, I wonder how observant you've been. Do we have any guys here that have been in the breakfast that know what I order? What?
Bran muffin.
Bran muffin. Well, Paul said to the Jews, I become a Jew. Okay, I'll leave it there. You know, every last Thursday when we go there, I order a dish. It's called an egg in a basket. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Egg in a basket. It's a piece of bread, and you cut the center out of the bread, and then you drop an egg in there. You crack an egg, drop an egg, and you don't drop the shell in there. Okay, you guys, you're with me. Okay, so this isn't cooking 101. So I'm hoping we're past that. And you just basically fry it all up together. And they use sourdough bread, which makes it just that much better. And I really love that dish. And it's something that not only is something that I enjoy eating, but it's something that brings back memories for me, an egg in a basket. An egg in a basket was the first thing I learned how to cook. And that brings back a special memory because at our house, I grew up in a house where we had a gas stove. And my mom wouldn't let me cook there when I was young because it was gas. You know, there's a live flame going on there. But when we went to the farm, I've talked about my grandma's tobacco farm before. You guys are probably familiar with that. Someday maybe I ought to show a picture so you can see it, so you can actually go there with me. When we went to the farm, grandma's house, she had an electric stove. And so I could cook on the electric stove. And my grandmother is the one who taught me how to make an egg in a basket. And since it was a farm, this was even extra special because what we would do in the morning is we'd go out to the chicken coop and you duck into the chicken coop because I don't know why, but they make chicken coops with like a 4-foot roof. And so you got to go ducking through there and you're watching out for the black snakes because they enjoy the eggs too. And you go through there and you collect the eggs and you put them in a little basket and we went on back up to the farmhouse and we'd take those very eggs and we'd cut holes in the bread and we'd fry up an egg in a basket for breakfast. And that's a special memory that I've carried with me from my grandmother. She went to go be with the Lord years ago. And every now and then when I'm home in the morning, my sons will sometimes ask, or son, the other one can't ask yet. He's still in the caveman stage. But my oldest son will ask for an egg in a basket sometimes. It's such a pleasure to be able to cook that for him and to know, you know, someday I'm going to be able to pass this on to him. And this might be his first dish that he cooks. We're here. It's Mother's Day. And when I think about Mother's Day, I think about things like that my mother, my grandmother, has passed on to me. And those memories that are associated and the wisdom that's associated with that. Mothers have a way of passing down certain things that fathers just can't really pass down very well sometimes. Mothers have this maternal piece of them. And so, mothers, since it's Mother's Day, I'm going to be talking to you a lot this morning. And we're going to share a little bit. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask you a question to get us started. And that question is, what would you like to pass on to your children? What would you like to pass on to your children? What I want you to do is in your bulletins, if you'll pull your bulletins out, you'll notice underneath that you've got some space there. I want you to just list some things. Just take a few minutes here and list some things that if you're a young mother that you would like to pass on to your children. If you're waiting to be a mother, maybe things that you would like to pass on to your children. Or if you're a grandmother, things that you have passed on to your children. Or things that you still have got that you say, you know, I'd really like to pass this on to my child or my grandchildren while I'm still here. Just take a moment and write that down. Guys, you guys get a chance to just kind of catch up on some sleep here for a few minutes. So we're just doing the mother's thing here. Maybe Father's Day we'll do something special for you guys. Just a list of things that you want to pass on to your children. And then let me get some of your answers here so we can share them around. Mothers, mothers-to-be, grandmothers, yes?
I said faith in God and Jesus.
Faith in God and Jesus, all right. What? A sense of honor, yes. Love of truth. That's a good one. What?
Memories.
Yes.
Dependability.
Integrity, I guess, would go along with that, being a man of your word, a woman of your word. Yes.
Marriage.
Amen. Five generations of wedding gowns and faithful marriages that Dean is wanting to pass down. Yes.
Sense of humor.
Want to pass that down. That's important to pass that down. Now, a lot of these things that we've talked about, I've kind of made a general list that would hopefully include a lot of the things that we would discuss. And so we're looking at these things that are values, things that are valuable to us. I mean, a sense of humor, that would even fall under that category. Principles, a sense of honor. We want to pass along relationship skills, like the marriages. If you have sons, mothers, you want to show your son what a good wife looks like so they know how to look for one. And if you have daughters, ladies, you want to show your daughters what a good wife looks like so they can be one. So they can be one to their husband. You want to show them how to relate with other people, how to have good, harmonious relationships with other people. Life skills. You want to teach them life skills, how to survive in this world. I remember when I went off to college, my mom taught me how to sort my laundry. And you have these clothes that go in the warm water, and you have these clothes that go in the cold water. And then when you get to college, you realize, you know, all of them can go in cold water. And I mean, really, the only reason why you don't put the colors in the warm water is because you don't want them to bleed. But that's only if you get new clothes. College student, no new clothes, all cold water. And so I didn't have to worry about that until I got married. So that got me out of laundry duty. Woo. life skills, things that you need to know, like nunchuck skills. Do we have anyone lucky enough to have a ninja for a mom? Hey! All right, well, we got a couple in the crowd. I mean, that's important to know. Life skills, you know, we take these things and say, you know, these are things that we'd really like to pass on to our children. Now, while we're thinking about these things, I'd like to bring up a character in the Bible. A character that a lot of you might be familiar with. His name's the Apostle Paul. He used to be Saul of Tarsus. And the Apostle Paul, and this guy was a force to be reckoned with in the early church. He made multiple trips around the east and the north side of the Mediterranean, starting in Judea and going all through Asia Minor and through all these other Roman cities, and then finally making it over to Rome itself. And he went through a lot of stuff. He endured, and I use that word, endured, in a way that we're not used to hearing that word used. Endure for us is you know, making it through the end of the service. Endure is going shopping maybe with your wife on Mother's Day. Okay? That's not the meaning of this word that Paul would have used. Paul endured things like beatings. Paul endured things like floggings, which were ancient forms of being whipped, awful torture. Paul endured, he was stoned, thrown rocks at, okay? And They threw rocks at him to kill him. They drug him out to the edge of town and they left him for dead. And Paul endured through these things. Paul says, I was shipwrecked. I can't imagine being shipwrecked, one. Two, he spent the whole night at sea. Can you imagine? And that's without the hope of a Coast Guard or helicopters. That's just by chance that someone would come along. And he endured through these things. And not only that, but even through all these things, he was writing to other Christians. He was writing letters to churches to encourage them, to lift them up. He wrote some of those letters while he was in jail, in prison because of his faith. And so, when he was sharing these things, we actually have some of Paul's letters in our Bible that have been considered holy scriptures. In fact, when you look in your New Testament, you'll notice that a majority of our New Testament was written through God's breath speaking through Paul as his writers wrote down what he spoke and the few words that Paul actually wrote down himself. So this Paul, the Apostle Paul, I look at Paul and I think, this guy is the example of an undying faith. One that just could not be stopped. Because all through these trials, all through these things, he still encouraged people. He still held on to the faith. He was still loving people. He was still sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that saving message that he carried with him everywhere he went. I look at Paul and I think, you know, Paul's a guy that would recognize sincere faith from a fake faith. Kind of that statement, you know, it takes one to know one. I think a lot of us have heard that statement. And I believe that applies with Paul's ability to recognize someone who is really sold out to a kingdom mindset and someone that served half-heartedly. I believe Paul would have known the difference between those because Paul knew what being faithful meant. Paul knew what faith in God meant. And I bring this up because Paul writes to Timothy. Now, Timothy was a man that Paul called a son in the faith, someone that he was very close to, and Timothy was sent to help start churches. And so he writes in a letter to Timothy, and he writes these words. He says, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith. Now, because of this picture that we've got of Paul, I don't believe he would have written words like that lightly. I've been reminded of your sincere faith. Paul knew what sincere faith was. Paul would not have cheapened the words sincere faith by giving them to someone who did not have sincere faith. Paul knew what sincere faith consisted of. He knew what it cost. He knew the strength and the hope that was involved in it. So when he writes Timothy, I don't believe that these words are written lightly. I don't believe that they're shared lightly. And Paul is a very upfront, he was a real guy. I don't see Paul as being the type of person that would embellish someone else's faith simply to make an encouraging statement in a letter. I'm saying that because I really believe that Paul looked at this and said, you know, Timothy, you have a sincere faith. And look what he says after this. He says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. So this sincere faith, Paul traces the lineage of this sincere faith. He says, this sincere faith, it existed in your grandmother Lois, and she passed it down to your mother Eunice. And then Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother both had an influence on Timothy's life, as they also passed down this same sincere faith, which Paul says, I believe now lives in you, as it was passed down from generation to generation through a grandmother and through a mother. I think that's important to look at on Mother's Day and looking at how influential you can be, mothers. grandmothers, and the power of what you can pass down. Now, of those things we listed, minus the thing that Nancy shared at the very beginning, and I'm not negating, you actually stated something that's coming in a minute. But all those things that we talked about, let's take another look at that list. You can go forward. There you go. Values, principles, relationship skills, life skills. When you take all of those, I want you to write on your bulletin out to the side of those what Nancy shared at the very beginning. Faith in God. And then what I want you to do is I want you to put a bracket that faces faith in God that contains all the other things that you wrote. And I believe that for most of the answers you gave, if not every one of the answers that you gave as you were listing those things that you want to pass down, those principles will be passed down if you pass down faith in God. Where else are you going to get? I mean, those are top-notch principles. Principles from a perfect being. Values. Who else knows values better than God? And so when you pass down a faith in God, you're passing down values. Relationship skills from a professional relator. God, who is perfect in his relationship to us, knows how to love, knows how to encourage, knows how to discipline. You can pass that on simply by faith in God. Life skills, real life skills, eternal life skills passed on. As you pass on faith in God. All these things, and that falls under the umbrella of what Jesus said. When Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things we're concerned about, all these things that we worry about will be given to you. And so as we look at this morning, we ask ourselves, mothers, grandmothers, what do we want to pass on? Faith in God. And you look at Paul. We mentioned Paul. We were talking about Paul a little bit earlier. And all the things that Paul endured through. And he still stayed on the straight and narrow. He still stayed faithful. He still stayed positive. You read the letters that he wrote while he was in prison. And he's in there saying, hey, guys, keep it up. He's not in there whining and complaining. He's encouraging people. And you look at that, and that type of strength, that type of hope, that type of courage, that is only available through faith in God. You know, watching mothers, observing mothers, spending time with mothers, having a mother in my own home, a mother of my children, living with my mother, I watched her as well. One of the things that I've picked up from mothers, they've got this maternal instinct it's a little different than the guys' instincts. I mean, guys, we like to fix stuff, right? Right, men? Yes. This week, I had the pleasure of hearing those words for the first time from my 2-year-old. Daddy, fix it. And I thought, oh, yeah, I can do this. I just had to replace batteries, but I fixed it. I was the dad. But moms have a different instinct in that area. They're not as concerned about batteries in a tractor. Moms like to fix boo-boos. Right, moms? If your child falls and scrapes her knee, it's mom, she's there. Dad's saying, bah, get up. But mom's there and she's kissing the boo-boo. And you're thinking, yuck, wash it off first. And moms are putting the Neosporin on. And moms are putting the Band-Aids on. And moms, I believe, and get me if I'm wrong, I think I'm correct in understanding this about motherhood. It's a maternal instinct to want to help fix your child when they're broken. Am I right? And when something happens to them, you long to want to do something to repair it, to fix it. But then as your children get older, you realize there are things I can't fix. There are boo-boos that a kiss doesn't suffice. You know, when your 40-year-old son loses his job and he's struggling, what do you do, moms? I mean, you might be able to help them out financially for a little bit, but that doesn't take away the feeling of rejection. That feeling like, you know, am I not worth anything to the workforce, or why did they let me go instead of someone else? How do you fix that, moms? And I know you want to. What about when you find out that your son or your daughter's spouse has been cheating on them? What do you do then? How do you kiss that one and make it go away? What about when they have a medical emergency and you're in the waiting room in a hospital and you want to fix it, but you can't? What about if they lose a child? How do you repair those things? You know, and I don't care who you are, if you're a mom, a grandma, there's really not a whole lot anyone can do in those situations. But when you pass down a sincere faith in God, you're passing down something that can help in those situations. When you pass down a faith in God, your faith in God brings hope where hope would never shine its light. Faith in God brings strength in the places where there is absolutely no source where strength could be found. Amen. Amen. Faith in God, it brings courage and endurance. It brings peace and patience, love and joy in the situations and circumstances that would never naturally cultivate these virtues. We sung songs this morning. We sung, "Oh No, You Never Let Go." Isn't that true? And we connect with God through our faith. We know He is a strength like no other. And you can pass that down to your children, mothers. You can be Eunice. You can be Lois, grandmothers. So how do I do it? How do I pass down my faith to my children? Well, the concept really is very simple, what I'm about to share. Accomplishing it is a whole other story. Okay, the concept, and we're going to break this down. I'll give it to you real quick, and then we'll go through piece by piece. The concept is teach it, talk about it, live it. It's very simple. And that's not original. I'm not some, you know, awesome guy or anything. That's actually straight from Scripture. If you would, open your Bibles to Deuteronomy. It's a book in your Old Testament. If you start at the very, very beginning of your Bible in Genesis, if you don't have a Bible with you, you can grab one from the little pew pocket in front of you. Flip through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then you'll find Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're dealing with a passage where the Israelites have just received God's law, the commandments. And God is instructing them on how to use these commandments, how to put them into practice, how to share them, how to pass them on. Now, what's interesting is we're going to the Old Testament, so we're going to have to do some New Testament conversion. All right, so put on your thinking caps for a moment, all right? Old Testament's the law, correct? New Testament says that the law, we couldn't get righteous by the law, but we've been made righteous through what? Faith. We couldn't be justified by the law, and the New Testament says, but we're justified by faith. So as we see some of these conversions, we see, you know, faith seems to be the replacement. Where the law was insufficient, faith is sufficient. Amen. And so I believe we can take principles that apply to the law, and since we're in the New Testament, we can take the same principles and apply them to faith. And we're going to watch how that's done. Deuteronomy chapter 6, down in verse 4. And some of you guys might recognize this because Jesus quoted this. He quoted this when he was asked, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus went right here to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. Teach it. This faith that you have been given, this faith that you have, this faith that you have with God, teach it to your children. Teach it to them. Show them where you find it. He continues. He says, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. So that's where I get the second one. Talk about it. Don't just teach it, but talk about it. When you're walking around, when you're driving in the car, when you're going shopping, when you're sitting at dinner, when you lie down in bed, when you wake up in the morning and everybody's going, getting ready for school and work, talk about it. Talk about your relationship with God. Talk about the faith that you have in God. Because passing along this thing called faith in God, it's you can't just put it in a box and wrap it up and give it to them on their 18th birthday. And even if you could, you're not assured that they would open it or even take it out and use it or if it would just get thrown in the closet. So passing down a sincere faith takes a little more time. You got to teach it. You got to talk about it. Just share with them. And then he continues. He says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, what's really funny is when this was shared with the Israelites about the law, they actually did this. Like, they actually tied verses to their forehead. They tied verses to their hands. These things, they were called phylacteries. They were big boxes. And I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. Preacher lying to you. No, not in church. They would tie boxes to their forehead and put scripture in it. Because that's what Deuteronomy 6 says. I'm being a good, God-loving person. Because I'm binding the scriptures to my forehead. That's what they did. And they bound it to their wrists, their hands. And they didn't get it because what God was saying was, he was saying, these things that I'm teaching you, these commandments that I'm giving you, I want you to put them in your thoughts. I want you to do things that involve these commands and not do things that these commands tell you not to do. That's why it was to be on your forehead and on your hands. And so when we're talking about faith in God, then we have to live it. Because that's basically what God was saying about those commandments. He was saying, look, think about it. Do it. Just live it. And so we're looking, mothers, grandmothers, how do I pass this faith along? And this, I'm singling out mothers and grandmothers. Fathers, grandfathers, this works for you as well. This is universal information. But since it's Mother's Day, they get a special day. Think about it. Do it. Live it. Live your faith. Live it in front of your kids. Let it be transparent. Living it means you have a transparent relationship with God. It's real. It's not fake. It's sincere. And you show that by being transparent. You let them see that your faith governs the decisions and actions within your home. When you make a decision, when you do something, when you're thinking about something, when you're doing something, let them know, this is why I'm doing this. It's my faith in God. That's why I'm doing this. So next, I want to ask you, what might happen if you do happen to pass this along to your children? If you teach it and you talk about it and you live it and then they take it on as their own, what might happen? Well, they might find exactly where God wants them in this life. I don't think there's any greater fulfillment in this life than finding out exactly what God made you for and doing it. Amen. Mothers, You provided the womb. You went through the stretching. You went through the, what is it, cocoa butter? Is that what, yeah? You went through the cocoa butter. And your husband thought he was at the beach for the last 4 months. It smells like the beach in here. You went through the labor pains. You went through caring and nurturing and watching what you ate and watching what you drank while you were pregnant. But all the while, your womb was being used for that. We're told in Psalm 139 that God was knitting. God was knitting inside your womb a special person. Someone that had unique gifts. Someone that had a unique personality. Someone that was made for a purpose. How are they going to find that purpose without faith in God? But if you pass along faith in God, and they place their faith in God, then you might have someone like Timothy. Timothy was where God wanted him to be, doing what God wanted him to do. And if you read the rest of that introduction as Paul's opening that letter, he's sharing with Timothy, hey, you're here, let's step it up a notch. Fan into flame the gifts that God has given you. That's what you could pass along with this faith. But in order to pass along something, you must first have it yourself. How can you pass along something that you don't have? And so we ask, what is a sincere faith? Well, a sincere faith is an authentic relationship with God. That's sincere. It's authentic. Your relationship with God is real. Mothers, grandmothers, I want to challenge you this morning to evaluate your faith in God. Is it authentic? Is it real? How do we measure that? I think there are a number of different things that we could ask ourselves, but just a few things that I believe can reveal this a little bit to ourselves. And that is that a sincere faith, it's a faith that is secure enough to be questioned. And if your faith's not secure, then it can't be questioned. But if it is, then you can throw questions at it all day long. Secure enough to be questioned. Strong enough to trust. It's authentic. You know you can lean on it. Real enough to be angry. I believe everyone in this room has been angry at God at one time or another. I don't like being angry with God, but I like that I can be. Because in those times, I know my relationship's real. Because if it weren't real, I wouldn't be angry. Real enough to be angry. And sure enough to be filled with hope. Is your faith sincere? If so, be Grandma Lois. Be Mother Eunice. And do all you can, mothers, grandmothers, to pass that faith on to your children and your grandchildren.